It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to read the chapter from verse 1 to verse 27 to the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 17. So if you'd open your Bibles to that chapter, we'll enjoy reading that in just a few moments. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today, and I would like to give you our mailing address. Our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. You could visit our website at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I will give thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which he shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. He shall circumcise the flesh of the foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in his generations, in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful. I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that was born in his house, all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house born in the house and bought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after we've read God's word. Father, I thank you for your word. We have read of Abraham, of the covenant, of the promise of the son Isaac to come, and that's where the line will go through. What a wonderful promise you have given Abraham, and we know now of the time we live in today that that all took place, that Sarah, 90 years old, gave birth to the son, to the seed that you wanted to carry on the covenant. From Abraham and Sarah was born a son at that old age. What a miracle. Father, thank you for the promise that we're receiving here. And we know again that that promise has been fulfilled, as every promise you make either has been or will be fulfilled completely in its fullest truth. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Now please guide and lead us as we enjoy this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the beginning of the chapter, we have taken some time here in the past, and I'm not going to take much time again other than to look at two things. At the very beginning of the 17th chapter, we have Abram was 90 years old and 9. We know that Sarai was 90 years old, because we have just read that. And we have also learned how old that Ishmael is 13 years old. Remember, as we've just read towards the end of the chapter there, the selfsame day that God spoke unto Abraham, Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And so this son that was born in God's out of God's plan, in Abraham's plan, remember that at first it started with Eliezer. They Abraham and Sarah discussed, I got this servant named Eliezer. Let's just go ahead and he has a son. We'll call that the seed and be fine. That's what the world does. You see, you compromise, you change, you kind of look at the way the world's doing it and accept that as something okay, and off you go. Well, God said no. Then years later, they decided to try it again. This time, again, custom of the day, and that's the problem today with most of our churches, because they have moved into the custom of the day and out and away from the Word of God. Because you see, here comes the promise of the Son, and they took it upon themselves to take Hagar, handmaiden of Sarah, went in with Abraham, and a son was born. His son's name was Ishmael. But because of this mistake, because of this error, 13 years has went by. How old is Ishmael when he was circumcised? He was 13. So you see, as we look through the scripture here, we find from the end of chapter 16 to the beginning of chapter 17, we have 13 years. From the time, once again, Abram decided to do it his own way. After 13 years, then God came back, because you see, God promised. And we've talked about when it's God's promise, he will carry it out. Even though Abram is 99 and Sarah is 90, he promised that they would have a seed through them too. Not through some worldly means of trying to make it work. Eliezer, the servant, they tried. Tried it with Hagar and brought into this world Ishmael. Now, we have found that God's way is right, not man's. Now, I want you to see this, because we do the same thing today. We try so hard to do the work of God, but we don't do it God's way. We do it through some program or some other means of raising money. We have kind of addressed that here the last couple of weeks. We do it all our way for the good. Why would you belong to Promise Keepers? Well, it's all good. We've just had the movie out it was supposed to be the greatest thing ever. I won't go to it. I refuse to go to it. I have no desire to go to it. It is not of God. And yet the world and many in the church flocked to this because it's good. It's good. This is okay. This is how we're going to do it. Now, we're getting to the same thing here. Sarah and Abraham thought about their servant Eliezer. That'll work because, you see, he has a man-child. And so that will be the seed that God's talking about. No, it wasn't. Next step. Sarah and Abram got together, decided, hey, I got a handmaiden here. This is the way the world does it, and it's for our good because we're going to help God here do his work. So so Abram went in with Hagar, had Ishmael, 13 years of barrenness, 13 years of no fruit we find out of Abraham or out of Sarah in that period of time because they tried to do it on their own. And you need to see that it's going to be the same way if you're trying to do the work of God on your own. You must let the Holy Spirit lead you, and the only way the Holy Spirit can lead you is if you're in His Word. I need you to do that. I need you to see that. That we go to the Word of God, go to the King James Bible, enjoy studying the King James. Don't say, can't understand it. If you can't understand it, then you best open your eyes and realize that you're lost and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Once you're saved, you will begin without question, without a problem, studying God's Word. Don't try to just read it. Study it. And you will find salvation. You will find power and strength in Jesus Christ, and you can begin to walk the life by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then when you begin to witness and to share and to open God's Word up to others, you'll find you don't need a program. You don't need to finance the church by some other means. You can depend upon God's people to take care of the expenses of the work of the ministry because God will bless it. You don't need the other things. And also, you will find when you do it God's way and not man's, that you'll have the leadership and the direction. You'll have great wisdom of what to do and what to say and when to do it because God gives us His wisdom to further His gospel. It's not ours. Abraham tried it with Eliezer. Abraham tried it with Hagar and Ishmael. Both times was a mistake, and the last time it cost him 13 years. What's it going to cost you? How much time are you going to be of barren? Oh, you're working, you're busy. So was Abraham. He was so busy at doing things. He was probably very religious, but nothing God recognized because of the mistake that he made by going and trying to do it his way. And I think Abram just continued to try to get Ishmael to be this promise that God had promised him. But again, what do we see here in the first verse? Abraham was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Remember I said that last week. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Abram, listen to me. Walk before me. Walk before me. Be thou perfect. And I will make a covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Again, God has not recognized Ishmael. The only one that God will recognize is the one to be born, which we have learned the name now, is Isaac. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. That's what we need to do. If we have left the Word of God, if we have stopped depending upon the Holy Spirit and went through programs and other things to further the gospel other than God's precious, sweet, clear Word, then We need to fall on our face and call upon Him for leadership and direction. And we need to ask for God's forgiveness for us leaving and going into places where you have the bands and the music stirs your heart before you can ever feel the presence of the Spirit. And I tell you what, the Spirit of God's not there. And you'll say to me, Larry, you can't say that. I know better. I'm there. I'm going according to the Word of God. You want 13 barren years, you stay there. That's the only thing I'm going to say, because I want you to be blessed of the Lord. And the only way that can happen is if you turn back to His Word and get rid of all these programs and junk and the garbage that's in so many places today. I'm not going to use the word church, because it shouldn't be, because they're not. They're clubs. They're country clubs, and that's what you're going to. Not going to be long that you're going to bring right in the drinking. You know, we get the drinking, we get the motorcycles, we get the every combination of things. We got all the sports events going on now in our churches, so that we can draw people in to reach them. It's a program, and it's against the Word of God. Preach the truth, and see that you don't have 13 years of barren. Please. Ishmael will haunt Abram all of his life, and that line is still against the nation of Israel or anyone that loves Israel today. What a mistake. He fell on his face. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. The promise comes again. God's made the promise, and God's going to carry it out, even though Abram has faltered twice that we have recorded here, and other times that we've talked about how he's walked away from the Lord. But especially with the promise, the seed, Eliezer, and now Ishmael, Hagar and Ishmael. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. See, the time has come to fulfill God's word, to fulfill God's promise. Thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So no longer will it be Abram, but now it will be Abraham. What a wonderful promise is beginning to come to full light. And I will make thy seed fruitful, exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. God just continues to point this promise to Abram. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, between thy seed after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. What a wonderful promise. It's words that continue to become more complete than before, but words that we have heard before. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. Verse 8. This is the one I'm reading, middle of the verse. All the land of Canaan, of an everlasting possession, I will be their God. What a promise to this people. I've said it before, there is no land that God has given to any people. I don't care what you possess today. If you say you own your house and you own your business and you own a farm, anything that you say you own, you really don't own it. Because the only one that can truly give you something is God Himself. He owns it. He is the possessor and owner of this earth. And so you see, for Him to give something to you, and the only people that He has given anything to is to the nation of Israel. He has given them this land, and we have it, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And you know as well as I do that there has been people all through the generations and the centuries, there have been people that have tried to and accomplished to literally take this promise away. Well, God's promise is true. And even though that we have a couple of times, because you see, as we look at this land, we know that from the time that the promise is given to Abram here, that Jacob leaves and goes into Egypt. But he returns. He returns a mighty nation. 70 souls leave, and anywhere from 1 to 2.5 million, depending on whether you look at the full number being the men women and children, or whether you look at just being a number of the men, which was common at this time. Either way, you're looking at a million and a half plus people left Egypt and went back to the land, because that land was promised. And that's the time that they really took possession of the land. However, they did not listen to the Lord. God said, you need to go in there and destroy the people, destroy all the idols, because you will be like them. You'll start worshiping the idols as they are worshiping. We're studying 1 and 2 Kings, and we're studying Ezekiel. And if you look at both of those, we're seeing the progression of the nation of Israel to worship idols. And those idols came from Egypt, they came from the land of Canaan, and they came from their neighbors, whether it's Assyria or over into Babylon, the Chaldeans, all those the idols that were of the land. They have possessed them, they took them on to themselves, and God is a jealous God. And so he has, in order to clean house, he has to do something, he has to discipline them. Jacob's time, they went into Egypt, they came back out a full-blown nation. Later, they leave during the Babylonian captivity, and they were forced to leave the land because of their ignorance. They went a-whoring, as the scripture said. They committed adultery because they went after other gods, and God will not allow that. They went after other gods. So during there was a 70-year period when they were out of the land then. And then when they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ in 70 AD, why, the city again was destroyed, the temple, and Jesus Christ was truly rejected. And at that time, why, no longer has the nation of Israel really possessed any amount of the land. And we know that the nation came back to have some property in the land that they have had given them, but as far as possessing the land that is theirs, they have not taken it back, but they will return during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It'll begin to move back during the tribulation, and then as the millennium comes, the thousand-year reign of Christ, that's when we'll really see the promise fulfilled. But God's word is true. So we have went all the way from Jacob, which is Abram, and then Isaac is his son, and then Jacob is Isaac's son. And so we have moved a couple of generations, and already at that time they will leave the land and then come back and return years later to really possess the land as a people, as a great nation, a strong nation. They should have been there. They should have stayed there all these 4,000 years. From the time that we're looking here in the 17th chapter, the nation of Israel should have possessed that land all those years, and to this day, it's theirs. God gave it to them. It is just literally should be possessed by them. God said unto Abraham, verse 9, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Okay? This is my covenant, which ye shall keep. See, each time the promise of this seed is God's doing, and it will come to pass, even though Abram has tried through Eliezer and tried through Hagar. He has tried to do it his way. Each time it's cost him precious time and the precious blessings of God. It has cost him. Now God once again is coming back, and he is saying to him very clearly, and the God of Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, verse 9, therefore thou shalt, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, he's speaking to Abraham, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. I want you to be identified. I want you to be separated from the people of the world. And here's how you're going to be separated. I'm going to give you this separation. It's been said that it is a badge. You know, a believer today, their badge is their good works. Circumcision did not get you into heaven. Faith It has always been faith. Abram was saved by faith, and every person from Adam to today is only saved if they come by faith. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart, shows you your sin, and introduces you to Jesus Christ. That is coming, and you trust in the Savior, Jesus Christ. He is alive at the right hand of the throne of God right now. He came out of the grave victorious. You must believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You must believe that He was fully man and fully God. And you must believe in His precious, precious blood. That blood has taken your sin away. We have the resurrection. He is not only was raised and seen by many here upon earth after the resurrection, but then ascended into the heavens, and is right there right now making intercession for us. That is a wonderful promise that we have in Jesus Christ. And before Jesus had come to earth and was tried and died and rose again, before those times, before that time took place, you still look forward to the cross, forward to Jesus Christ. We look back to the cross. Same cross, same man, God, same means of salvation by faith. But here, a promise to a chosen people. This promise was a promise that they would receive. But if you want to receive this blessing that God has, you will be circumcised. If you want to receive the promises that God has for us as believers today, you will serve Him and you will work for Him and praise and honor Him if you expect the blessings of God. Salvation, you come by faith. This time, salvation, you came by faith. But if you wanted any of the blessings of God, you will follow in circumcision to the Jews. To us, we follow in good works. God had already made the covenant with them. The promise was given of the seed was to come. But here we find that if you expect the fellowship, if you expect to be a part of this family, you will be circumcised. The 14th verse says, "And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, and he hath broken my covenant, broken my promise." Now you see, we have many times, we're not talking about salvation here. Baptism to us is not salvation. Circumcision to the Jew was not salvation. It was always faith. But if you want the fellowship, if you want the power, if you want the strength, then you will look to Jesus Christ and come by faith, and you will follow God's word. God said, be circumcised. And so they were to be circumcised. What a wonderful words that we have here. Let's look quickly to those that were to be circumcised. Back to verse 11, "Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, the soul shall be cut off from his people, and he hath broken my covenant." Now, the promise, we need to follow God's word and truth. Why do I continue to bring you back to the King James Bible? Why do I continue to bring you back to the Word of God and try to get you away from the books you read and the men you listen to? I want you in the Word of God. You know, when I stand in the pulpit, when I'm teaching a Bible study, when I'm doing this radio program, you need to understand that my desire is that you not follow me. Then my desire is you follow Jesus Christ. The only way you can follow Him is to go to His Word and depend upon His Word, and the Holy Spirit will convict your heart, show you the truth, and lead you to salvation, and then lead you to a wonderful walk with Jesus. The only purpose that I have, that this church has, that any believer should have, and that is to bring you to the truth. Oh, this covenant, this promise, this circumcision, this badge that God is giving his people now. And if you'll notice the very next verse, verse 15, we're going to change Sarai's name too, aren't we? It's a wonderful day to come together to study God's Word. I hope that you've enjoyed it today. I hope that it was a blessing to you. It is God's Word. It should be a blessing. If you don't know Jesus Christ, it is a curse to you. Please come to Jesus today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?